Yes, ma'am.
Good evening.
Good evening, Hanok.
I got your question by text, so I'll let you ask it when we get started.
Okay. Thank you. You're going to ask me again, or?
Yes.
I'm
going to ask you again. Right now, you're the only one on, and it would just hit 9 o'clock. So I'm going to give it another few minutes to get people on.
Okay.
Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
You have any questions this evening?
Well, I guess I need to ask you a question. Oh, well, do you want me to ask it now?
No, let's wait a minute.
Okay.
Good evening, Brandy.
Good evening.
Hello,
you have
Brandy.
Any questions for the evening?
Hey.
Brandy, do you have any questions?
I know we're studying Noah, and he's righteous according to what we studied. Do they ever mention any women?
All the time.
As being righteous?
Don't you remember we did the seven prophetesses? You don't think they weren't righteous?
I think they were, but from what we talked about, being righteous, that's what I'm seeing. You have to walk with God and be circumcised.
Is that what you're seeing in the Zohar?
Well, from what I've been listening, that's what made them
walk. You're not interjecting enough. You're not making comments so that it would draw out of me all about the righteous women. And it wouldn't draw out of me. It'll draw out of Hannah, because she's the one most knowledgeable on those seven righteous prophetesses. But I'm glad you brought it up so that you can put to rest the misconception.
Okay.
Jasmine, you want to go ahead and ask your question now?
Okay. Well, I'll start to, I don't know if you all know that I'm from Venezuela, and you know all the hardship that is going over there, and, you know, it's even worse and worse every single day. And, you know, I realized with this 3 weeks that we just started it, that the election for a new constitution in Venezuela, it's going to be on the 30th of July, a day before of the 9th of Av. And that elections is all about being just corruption and all that is going on with the people that is in charge of the country. And if they win, the country will definitely be under communism. and it's going to be even worse than what is going on right now. So my question is, if this being a day before the 9th of Av, it's going to have an impact on what is going to happen. And that's my question.
It's an excellent question, having to do with the modern times and how do we explain it. And it, to truly answer the question, we just have to, as we studied today in the second section of the Zohar on Noah, we studied today the prophecy from God is in the name. So if we converted the name Venezuela into Hebrew letters, which I have not done, but we would know all that answer to your question. Now,
wow,
I also would like to... Go ahead.
I never thought of that.
Well, if you listen to the recording, it'll be put up sometime this evening or tomorrow morning about section 2 of Noah. That's exactly what it talked about, was how to know what's happening in the world by looking at the names, because that's the name is the way that God prophesizes to the world. And he does so by the names that people call something. But I also would like to take exception to what you said, because my understanding, and obviously I'm not from Venezuela, and I'm not familiar with the politics of Venezuela. I'm only listening to the, you know, quote-unquote fake news coming out of CNN that talks about it. But my understanding is that you have a government that is moving towards a right-wing military dictatorship.
Right.
And what you described is a constitutional amendment that is supported by the government, which would mean that it's not communism. It's moving away from communism, although it is very difficult in our world to understand or differentiate between all of the different isms. Even capitalism, as it's structured in the United States, has an affinity with communism by the virtue of the large government that is so objected to by the right wing within the United States. But the right wing within the United States is nowhere near as right wing as the military juntas all around the world. So your presentation of your question of what's going on in Venezuela is very confusing to me because of the quote-unquote fake news coming out of CNN and other cable stations, other news stations. But all of it is going to be clarified if we take a look at Venezuela converted to Hebrew letters and then determine what the gematria teaches, what the permutations of the letters, what other words are get created, all of it will become somewhat clear or more clear than it is now.
Okay. That would be a good homework for me to do.
Yes, it would be a good homework for anybody who's interested in the answer. It's always good for the students of Kabbalah to utilize the tools on their own. And then it's always good to check with the teacher, this is what I did, is this correct, or am I misinterpreting it? How can I understand it? Because it leaves you open for additional learning.
We did that Saturday when Brandy and I got together. We did that with Port Arthur, her city. Brandy, you want to share anything that you remember that we came up with? Is she not there anymore?
Sorry, I had to unmute.
Oh, okay.
Well?
Remember the Gematria? The Gematria came out to be 774. And, of course, I had 774 on my number card because 774 was just a few years ago, and that was we had meaning having to do with the year 5774. But what I mainly got from it, it linked up with her and Noah and Jonah and the dove and, you know, everything that she had been seeing lately. So it was, I don't know, that's what I remember. Do you want to share anything about that?
No, that's pretty much it. I'm looking at the paperwork that we did. It talked about some of the letters. It was a witness, and it talked about 774, the year of the strong river. And we talked about the Tanya with chapter 3 with Rav Ginsburg and a three-dimensional speech. And it was also, too, you remember what it was? I can't remember, but it was on a Friday, and it had to do with Rosh Kadesh and Heshvan. Remember, we went back and looked at it as being at the time of the flood in Noah.
Mm-hmm.
And that 774 was an acronym for the letters of Tav, He, Aleph, Shin, Nun, Tav. This year will be of a witness or untie or bounty, depth apart. Sacred boldness is what we got for, and we talked about the being, being the river that flows into a river, and we talked about the Sabians, and they were not nice people, so we live close to the Sabine River. So that's kind of what we did. And being a bear and a dove.
That was very interesting. But both of you left out, or maybe I didn't hear it. What is the energy of the year 5774? We say it every day.
Peace in the Middle East.
Peace in the Middle East. So is that part of 774? Because that's what we came up.
It's inherently the energy of the year. The energy of the Port Arthur, if their gematria is there, doesn't mean it's all of the energy, but it's very much part of it.
Peace.
And just take the phrase peace in the Middle East.
Okay.
What is the energy of the East? We pray to the East. The sun rises in the East. What is the energy of the East? The energy of the East is covered.
To Ferret. Ferret.
Tiferet, correct, the sun. It's the energy of the East is chesed. More so Tiferet, but it's essentially mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, what is the middle? The middle is the central column, the balance point. So, and what is peace? Peace is shalom, but it's also shalem, meaning completion.
Mm-hmm.
So the energy of Port Arthur is this idea of the completion of the center aspect of mercy.
Would you say that again? I'm getting some buzzing.
If I could say it again, then I would have had it already memorized, right? I have, you know, I keep telling you, I have no idea what I say. It's not me saying it. You guys are pulling it out of me.
What's that?
But go to the phrase once again. The phrase is peace in the Middle East. So break apart the phrase. Peace. Well, you know it's shalom in Hebrew, but that's the same, almost the same letters as shalem. It is the same root as shalem, and shalem means completion. The middle, the word middle represents the central column, the balance point between right and left, between top and bottom, up and down. Middle. Now, what is the energy of the East? The energy of the East is the sun, but what's the energy of the sun? It's Tiferet. What's the energy of Tiferet essentially is mercy. It's actually, in another sense, it's justice. Because what is the difference between love and judgment? When you combine the two, love sweetens judgment and it becomes justice. Judgment is the letter of the law. Justice is the letter of the law combined with the sweetening, combined with the explanations. I didn't do it properly because X, Y, and Z. Whatever my explanation is, it tends to temper the harsh judgment of Geburah. So now you have this phrase, peace in the Middle East. But that's very far from the discussion that we started out with Jasmine in Venezuela, but it's because you can see how much time it takes to actually do the analysis. But that's, the energy is always there. So if we go back to the phrase, peace in the Middle East, and after this explanation, how would you verbalize it? I verbalize it as saying it's the completion from Shalem of the balance point from the middle of mercy. Does mercy have a balance point within the balance point, within mercy itself? Can mercy be tempered to the right or to the left, to the top or to the bottom? What is the balance point of mercy? Well, that takes a lot of thinking, a lot of contemplating, a lot of meditating and asking those kinds of questions. But that's how you get to the bottom. That's how you get to the completion of what is the prophecy that God has told man when he's told people to call their country Venezuela, when he's told people to call the city Port Arthur. It's a prophecy. What is a prophecy? Oh, it's telling us the future. No, that's not what prophecy is. Prophecy is a perception of a movie that is being played out. That's what prophecy is. It's only one movie out of how many billions or trillions of movies that could play out. You know, there's a movie that says that a UFO is going to land in my front yard tomorrow. I don't expect it to happen. But all of those potential craziness, conspiracy theories, have the potential to manifest. But even the non-conspiracy theories, what is more truthful? What is more real? But if you limit yourself to what you're perceiving from your physical senses, you're never going to really understand the prophecy of God. I'm through. Anybody
Thank
else
you.
Have a question? I really
okay.
shouldn't say I'm through. It's because this is what you guys are pulling out of me. And Jasmine, I hope we have given you insights into what you are to do.
Well, I found out that the gematria of the name of Venezuela is 188.
Are you sure? How did you spell Venezuela?
I found it like Venezuela, you spell it like V as it would be Y. Wa be za wa a lamed he.
Rather than do
oh,
it with the sound, give me the letters that you started with.
Bab, Noon, Zion, no, Sadik is the letters with this, the name of Sadik. Vav, Aleph, Lamed,
Hey. Off the top of my head, and I would want to think about it, I would start the word Venezuela with a bet. With the bet without the dagesh, so it's pronounced with a V, the.
Yeah, because
so
it's a... Vev, Nun, Tariq.
Well, no, I'm not sure about that. Give me a second.
I'm sorry.
Zion is a Zion more than a Tzadi. Zwei would be Zion with the two dots underneath it. But then there would be a holding vowel like an iron or an olive. Way, then Lamed Hey would be the
Lamed
last two letters. So
right.
it would be 105, 112, and then the Bet Nun, which is 52. So it would be 164. But it would also be breaking it apart, it would be Ben being the son, S-O-N, and it would be the son of 112. And 112 is the unity of the three levels of the names of God. The Echie with Aleph Hey Yud Hey, Hashem Yud Hey Vav Hey. So you have 21 plus 26 is 47, and then you have 65 for Aleph, Aleph, Nun, Yud, all total to be 112. Now, what does it mean to be a son of this unity of these three levels? It means the klipot, means below the malchut. Because the unity includes all three levels. And now you can get a sense of why you're seeing so much chaos in the country. And if I don't mean to reveal private information that Jasmine has shared with me, but there's a lot of sense of chaos that would be associated for why someone would be born in Venezuela. But when she moved away, it's an indication that that chaos has changed, and now she's living in a city in Florida. So we would have to look at how that happened. All of these names impact the prophecy that God is telling you about yourself. But you asked a specific question. Take a look at what the gematria of 164 represents. Because 164 is 101 plus 63. 63 is a number connected to Bina, and 101 is a number connected to Michael, which is Chesed. So Venezuela has the potential to be a world that is coming, to be the world of Bina through its approach to loving kindness, to Chesed. But you don't see it in this world right now, in this year of the goat, because that's an overriding energy that has to do with cleansing sins.
Are we still connected?
I don't know.
I don't know.
It must be his phone again. It's happened several times.
Yeah.
Just wait.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Just wait. He'll be back on.
He's been coming back.
I have returned.
Okay. I was getting ready to say you've been.
No, it's, the new phone is dropping calls, but for some reason, it also is telling me when the calls are dropped, so I know to stop. When I was interrupted, what I was saying was, you guys are drawing all of this stuff out of me. Because you have a desire to know, and that's why the questions are asked, and that's why the answers are there. But it's not just my answers. As Hannah has shared, as Brandy has shared, it's really a good class when you guys all share. Jasmine also. But what I was saying is yes, go ahead, Martha.
I would like to do my city when you finish, please.
What is the city?
Vinton, V-I-N-T-O-N.
So it would be Vinton, either Tet or Toff. Min Sophie. So you have Bet Min Taf Nun. And probably Taf Vav Nun, but you'd have to think that through. But you have 52 and 400 is 452, and another 50 is 502. And the Vav becomes 508. And we know 507 is Ahavatinam.
unconditional love.
Correct. And then the with the kolel, it becomes 508. But can there be anything greater than unconditional love? Can there be more love than unconditional love? So 508 is causing a lowering of the consciousness of unconditional love. That's the energy of your city. Just off the top of our heads, without really delving into it with great detail, if you ask Hannah and Brandy how long it took them to arrive at what they arrived at and to go through all of the permutations, you know, it's hours.
Well,
one
the
of the things
thing
that I had
was,
to do,
excuse me, I thought you were finished.
No. One of the things that I have on my list to do is close to 1,800 names of people who've sent, you know, have used the name form to find out about their name. And, you know, I've only done maybe 100 of them, maybe 50 of them. But I have an additional 1,800 on my name form list to do. That's why I want to get it automated. Because you can see how time-consuming it can be, and yet how beneficial it can be. Because knowing what God wants you to do is 80% of the battle, isn't it?
Yes.
And what does God want you to do? He's giving you his prophecy in the names of the things that we use every day, the names of the people we interact with every day. The names of the locations that we are at, the name of the street that we live on, all of this comes together. The numbers of the name of the house that we live in, all of these things impact who we are and what we are doing, and it's all information that is described in the Zohar as a prophecy from God.
When I was in Israel, I was told that when you transliterate a word that that you're going from an English word to Hebrew that isn't really a truly a Hebrew word, that you don't use, rather than the aleph, use the ayin, rather than the tav, you use the tet. And they gave me the example with spelling de Bartolo in Hebrew that I should use a tet rather than a tav for the T, because it wasn't a true Hebrew word. Now, I don't, you know, that was, this was a person who was a Sabra, so she knew the language well.
There is a very clear set of rules for translating foreign language words into Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one of the rules. But the Kabbalah would come along and say, well, if I have a tet, I'm concealing a tav because of the letter substitution.
Well, I felt like we could do it both ways. You know, we could do it both.
And that's exactly what I'm saying. You can do it both
right.
ways, and you should
Absolutely.
Do it both ways.
Mm-hmm. Now, like for port, we could look up the word port and found the Hebrew word. For Arthur, well, we kind of had to. We looked up the word A-U-T-H-O-R as a god, too. But, you know,
I would caution against translating the English word into the Hebrew equivalent word. I would do it as part of the overall, but I would caution about that because The Hebrew word that is used for point as an example is telling us it's coming out of the Torah. It's coming in from a way that, how do I explain this? The 70 nations are not as pure as the children of Israel. They're not as cleansed. And because of that, words that that are used in the exile outside of Israel to transform them into a word that is the same meaning in Hebrew is raising the energy. So I would be cautious of doing that. I would definitely do it as part of your overall information as you look at what the question and what you're trying to understand about the prophecy. But I would caution you about just accepting that understanding. And I hope I'm being clear in what I'm saying just now.
Mm-hmm. In other words, just going pay, resh, tav, or tet would have gotten port for us anyway. Is that what you're saying?
Well, it would be pay, bob, resh. You almost never end a Hebrew word with a tet. It's almost always a tav if it's the last letter. If it's a middle letter, it's almost always the tet.
Okay.
Now, these are rules that are just, you know, they're coming to me. I don't know that they're accurate, but, you know, I do trust my intuition on these kinds of subjects. And it clearly, if it's a last letter in a word, it should be the Tav because it's the last letter of the alphabet.
Right.
So I would still pour Pei Vav Resh Tav.
So if you do that, does it not change the gematria? Then is it no longer 774?
Well, we'll have to see what. I didn't keep a record of what, you know, I gave you my card and you copied it and you, you know, you took, I didn't keep the notes, in other words. So you'd have to look at your card and see what we used before.
Question, Brandy, yes, it does change the gematria. But always remember, letter substitutions are always there. And I have been asking for a number of years now, what is the meaning when you make a letter substitution? And I'll give you a perfect example because I'm asking the question as I'm starting to prepare the analysis for the year Tafshin Ayin Chet, 778. Because Ayin is easily and very comfortably substituted with an Aleph. And then it becomes Tafshin Aleph Chet. So when we say 778, we're also saying 709. But on a source of the words, we have a concealment of the energy of brotherhood, which is what Aleph Chet represents. It's in that word. It's in next year, but it's concealed. And it's concealed with a difference of 69. And what is the number 69 bring to mind? It brings to mind from the Torah that there were 70 people who went down to Egypt, but actually when you count the names, there are only 69. And the sages say, it was 70 because Moses' mother Yochaved was in utero. Her mother was pregnant. So they counted her even though she hadn't yet been born. So what is 69? It's the people who go down to Egypt. And that's also the energy, part of the energy of next year. We can reveal brotherhood, or we can go down further than we are now. That's just part of the energy. But my dictionary says, and this is going to make you absolutely crazy, my dictionary says, hey, tough, excuse me, yeah, hey, tough, shin, ayin, het. Those five letters, if you rearrange two of them, and I forget which two, it spells the word revival. And if you put it in the sequence of the years, 5776 is the year of the pause between the negativity of 5775, which is swallowing death forever. But it was a difficult year because of that strong energy. And this year of the goat, which is a strong energy as well. And now what is the next year that's coming is a revival. What is the revival? The revival is to grow spiritually, or the revival is to fall spiritually. Revive your connection to physicality, or revive your connection to spirituality. But I've just been getting started about the year. There's that much more.
Well, it looks like we're doing more for our 3 weeks. So let's believe that it's going to, or have certainty that it's going to be a positive revival. And that's why we're having to work more during this 3 weeks.
Amen. And that's why we're doing it.
Uh-huh.
That's why I've added the sounding out the rows on the 72 name charts. That's why we're doing the Tikkun Rachel in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to do more. That's why we've changed the pattern of our classes so that we can become more aware. That's why what did I reveal on the other day about all the astrological influences of the days of the month and the weeks of the month and the months of the year, all of that is to give you the information to be able to handle this very powerful energy that's coming.
Well, I know I was used to just doing the meditation for the 3 weeks, the three times a day, but I've made it an effort to actually do the whole Amita at least once a day, you know, to do a little extra. And then I did remember that we could also recite the Olivet, you know, with the vowels every day as well, you know. So trying to increase what we can. And that's probably the consciousness that we need to do more the next year, for the coming year.
Absolutely.
My question still kind of fell in line with what we're saying, and that's that when we're doing the gematria for a sentence, or rather for a verse that's in the Torah, when we write down the first letters and we write down the final letters of each word. I know we count the words and then we count the letters. When we make words, do we use both? Can we mix the first and the last letters? Or should we do just the first letters and make words from them, and then the final letters and make words with them? Or can we combine first and last letters to make words, as well as to make the 72 names?
It's an excellent question, and I'm going to ask you questions to lead you to the answer.
Okay.
Because you're at the point where you can determine this answer on your own.
Well, I could if I could.
What does it mean? What
putting
does
it down
mean
and
when
then.
You take...
Okay, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, that's all right. Finish what you were saying.
Well, it's the idea. I start on something and then I have to put it away, and then it takes me a couple of days before I can find it again. And then I think I'm going to go back to an example that you've done. And then I can't get to it at that minute, so I put that away. And then it takes me a couple of days to find my folder again. So that's kind of what I go through.
So, welcome to the reality of everybody's life.
I know.
We live in a society that says we need to do 17 things at once. But the question I want to ask you is, what does it mean when you pick, you do, I'm going to use the idea of a food recipe. Do you have to do it step by step? Or
no.
Do you, is it okay if you do the first step and then you do the last step and then you do the second step? Is it going to come out all right?
No, I follow the steps as they go. Now, I may add some things, but usually the first time I do a recipe, I follow the recipe. And then the next go round, I make my little changes.
And so the first time you do the letters, you do the first letters. And then you do the last letters by themselves. And when you are complete in those, then you can mix them, but only if you've reached a level of consciousness where you know the idea of mixing Chachma and Malchut is very easy to become unbalanced, and you have
okay.
to be very careful doing it.
Okay.
Because the first letters represent Chachma, don't they?
Right.
And the last letters represent Malchut.
Yeah.
So what are you doing? You're mixing Chachma and Malchut. And what happens when that happens, when we draw Chachma straight? It's chaos.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do it in a balanced way, it's ultimately Messiah consciousness. So what am I saying? Do it, but be careful. Be aware of what you're doing. Not just, oh, this is the first letters and these are the last letters, and I'm just going to mix and match them. Understand what you're doing. What sephirah are you interacting with?
Okay, thank you.
Are there any other? You're welcome. Are there any other questions?
I have one.
We haven't heard from you in a few minutes. Go ahead. I didn't hear who was asking.
If your community is of chaos, could you try to bring balance, or should you move from that community?
The Torah basically says that if you are living in a community that lacks Torah, you should move to a community that has Torah. But if you are in a community that has Torah, you still have to do your own study, your own learning of Torah. There's a reason why you're in a community. There's a reason why you're living in Vinton. What is that reason? Is there sparks that your soul needs to elevate? That's why you're living there. And when you are complete, when all of the sparks that you can elevate out of Vinton, you'll know it's time to move on. I'll give you as a perfect example, or the most easily understandable example, is where is the Zohar revealed? It's revealed in Spain. It's revealed in Spain in the year 1170. And from the year 1170 until the year 1492, you have a number of different small Kabbalistic groups studying the Zohar, revealing a lot of light associated with the secrets of the Torah. You have all of this growth in spiritual levels through Torah study. All of that is elevating the sparks out of Spain. Until 1492, when the Jews are expelled from Spain. Now, why did that take place? Because they wouldn't move on their own, of course. There's no more sparks left in Spain. If you're energy sensitive and you go to Barcelona, as I have on a cruise that I took way before my Kabbalah studies, not that many years before, but many earlier than my studies. There's no sparks in Barcelona. They've all been elevated. Maybe they've all been elevated for what I could have elevated. Maybe there's other Jewish people, other people who need to elevate sparks. I can't speak to that, because if it was energy that was related to me that I could connect to, I would have felt it. And if I didn't feel it, it doesn't mean that there's no sparks there, just that they're not connecting to my soul. But from the standpoint of the sparks that the Jewish people can elevate, which is the majority of the sparks, they all left. They were all elevated through the study of the Zohar in those 400 years, from 1170 to 1492. Now there's Jewish people going back into Spain. Why? I can't answer you. Maybe it's going to do the bull run, the idea of the, I forget the name of the city, Paloma, the bull run of Paloma. But that's just the one area. Were there a lot of sparks elevated in Poland? A big Jewish community for many centuries in Poland. Did they elevate all the sparks? I haven't been to Poland. I can't answer you.
Maybe it's part of the revival.
It may be part of the revival, but then there's the other side of it, which is there a big Jewish community in Germany? Do you know any Jewish people after the Shoah that settled back in their home country? Some did, but very few. Hashem places you in locations that you have sparks to elevate. And when you get a sense that it's time to move, it's an indication that there's no more sparks in that location for you to elevate. This is not the way we learn from the Western world that we live in, from the society that we live in. They don't think like this. They don't see cause and effect. They see an approach to cause and effect. It's called science. It's called, here's the formula. Let's understand it. Let's use the logic. We're teaching you to use your intuition. You live in a place that you live in order to elevate sparks. Do you sense the sparks? Most of the time we don't. But at some point, you interact with another human being and you walk away from that interaction feeling good. That's an indication you elevated a spark. And sometimes you interact with another human being and you walk away from that interaction and you don't feel good.
I think we lost them. Hello?
Yeah, we're still
Hello?
Here.
Hello?
You may have That's why I still want us to have a ladies group.
What happened?
His phone cuts him off, but he'll be back. We'll just wait. Because he said he gets a message with this phone. I thought I heard him say
he needs
a new phone. Okay.
I'm back.
Okay.
So what I was starting to explain or trying to explain, when you interact with somebody and you walk away from that interaction not feeling good, it's an indication that there was some sparks that you had an opportunity to elevate, and you didn't succeed in that interaction. What is it you did wrong? Maybe you did nothing wrong. But the fact that you don't feel good is an indication that there was something wrong. So you start to evaluate. You start to determine what was a better thing to do. I had a conversation tonight at dinner with a woman that I lives in this building, and she's having a difficult time. Why not? It's Tammuz. Why not? It's the year of the goat. She's having a difficult time, and she's every time she interacts with somebody, she's getting negativity. And she doesn't understand it, and she thinks she's doing nothing wrong. So I gently tried to explain, and I knew that the explanation I was going to give her was not going to be heard completely, but I was hoping some of it might rub off. And I was explaining that from her personality and her approach, she wanted to be right. So when she hears somebody, make a snide remark to her, she can't let it go. She has to go back to them and prove how much better, smarter, more knowledgeable she is. And I was explaining just, it's not about being right. It's about recognizing that everybody is right. And it's like about recognizing that if you are hurt by a snide remark, then you need to look at your ego and why you're hurt by that snide remark. What is your self-image and how does that interact with the snide remark? I felt good when I left the conversation. I don't think that she will change. I hope she will. I hope I had some impact. But the fact that I made the effort was what my tikkun was, and that's why I was able to feel good afterwards. That's the meaning of elevating sparks. Are there any other questions?
So that one held.
Say again. You broke up.
I said, I have a question.
Go ahead.
Well, okay, while ago you asked a question about, said you made a statement about how it's better to move to a community that teaches the Torah. So my question is, if everybody moved to a community that teaches Torah, what about the area you were in? Would they need you to stay there and help elevate the sparks there? If everybody moves to what area, who's going to elevate the sparks where you were?
You're bringing up a very interesting question that the Rebbe from Chabad, before he died, was asked and answered many times. His opinion was that there is no reason for people to leave where they are and move to Israel, because the Jewish communities need to remain outside of Israel of sufficient size that the sparks can still be elevated and the pressure from the external onto the internal will be done with mercy, so that the change of the internal will take place because of the change, the pressure that is put on the internal aspect of the modern state of Israel from the external. So whenever people were saying, as the Israeli politicians always say, you're having trouble with certain groups of people in the country you're living, come home. Come home to the modern state. Come. And the Rebbe of Chabad would always say, elevate the sparks. Do your work where you are. Don't run away because it's difficult where you are. Recognize that you have work to do, that you have sparks to do. Now, that doesn't mean that he ever said, don't make Aliyah. Don't go to Israel. He said it because certain people need to make Aliyah. Certain people need to go to Israel. So you asked the question. I'm applying it to you, and I don't really know if that's what you were asking. But you were asking the question, should I move from where I am in Vinton because of the gematria and the understanding of the energy of Vinton? And the answer is, I don't know. The answer is, you will know if you do the work. You will know if there's no more sparks for you to elevate. You will know if what is the right thing for you to do if you start to listen and start to learn and expand your intuition. I gave you the halakha, which says, go A or go north, go south, go east or go west. The halakha always gives you choices. And those choices are always A or B. And the answer is, what's harder for you to do, move or stay? If it's harder for you to move, then you should move. If it's harder for you to stay, then you should stay. Life is simple. It's never easy, but it's always simple. But people don't want to look at these choices. They're both hard. They're both difficult to do. But which one is more difficult right now? I don't want to decide that. They're both difficult. Well, there's the trough of water called Kapalah. You've been taught it. Will you use it? That's up to you. That's what free choice is all about. Are you liking the energy of these 3 weeks?
They're different.
They're challenging.
You think we would have this class in another month? In a different month, different energy? The answer is no.
No.
The 3 weeks is a very powerful, positive energy, but only if you build the vessel. And that's why you're drawing all of this stuff through me today. And don't get cocky. Don't get filled with yourself or myself, which is more important for me. I can't allow myself to, you know, just to feel so good about it. It's next. This is a great class. What are we going to do next?
Well,
how do we keep the energy flowing?
I have this to what said on a lighter note tonight. I talked with my brother this morning, and the first thing out of my mouth was, I'm moving. And he says, where? I said, Alaska. And he was silent. And I said, well, I've amassed enough dogs for a dog sled, so I think I need to go.
Very funny.
You're supposed to laugh.
But don't move to Alaska.
That means that I've got like 36 dogs.
Don't move to Alaska until you spell it in Hebrew letters and see what it tells you. Listen to the prophecy of God.
His reply after all of that was, well, you know, I heard people in Alaska live longer, and there are more men.
I'm going to move to Alaska.
You want
then.
More chaos? You got out of one, get out of two. I said you want to go in another one? Okay, next Shabbat we'll work on Alaska.
I can't let anything get too serious without making a joke. I guess
thank
I'll
God.
Have to talk to Charlene. Yeah, thank God. I guess I'll have to talk to Charlene in our Torah class. She lived in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the
I'm
only
out.
Person I know who lived in Alaska is living in Atlanta with me now.
Oh, well, okay. That's a culture shock.
And the only thing good about Alaska was the woman who from Poland.
Well, okay.
Mm-hmm. And the
I'm sure.
I hope you all realize that that was a joke.
Yeah. Well, I'm not looking for no woman from Poland, I can tell you that.
How about from New England?
Do what?
New Zealand.
How about looking for a woman from New England?
New England? I'm not looking for any kind of woman.
Jesus,
what? That from your list of today.
Are there any other questions?
I'm the serious one, and I don't find any of that funny. Oh, God. I'm trying to think about it.
Our class is tomorrow. At 1:30, we will have the Tikkun Rachel. At 4:30, we have advanced reincarnation. And at 7 o'clock, we have a Zohar class for the Parasha of Pinchas. So I hope to see you all tomorrow. I'm letting you know in advance the class at 1:30 on Friday this week. I had already made another appointment, so I will not be having it. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't do it. You have the handout available to you. Just go ahead and do it. If you don't speak the Hebrew, scan the Hebrew. I've also posted an English translation, so you can do it in English. Shalom to all.
Shalom.
Thank you.
Shalom. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thank you, everybody.